America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Welcome to America Meditating Radio Show. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in Tyson's Corner, and we continue to allow the scenes of life to keep unfolding, offering us insights as to the kind of people that we've become. You know, like you look at yourself deep enough and you start to learn more about your ins and your outs, your ups and your downs, your victories and your defeats, tend to hold within yourself some sort of an understanding as to who you are and why you showed up on the planet in the first place. In a conversation I was having today with a few of the students at the Meditation Museum, I was sharing with them that no matter what it is that's unfolding in front of your eyes, whether it's a color issue, a race issue, a gender issue, a status issue, a class issue, if you feel any sort of a hate or dislike or separation of, you know, distinguishing yourself to be higher than another, situations or destiny will bring to you an opportunity to teach you that it's much more than that. It's not just about that. There's so much more to it than what meets the eye. And we are here to return to a place of complete acceptance and complete love and appreciation. I think we're all learning that, wouldn't you say so? Because as much as we do the best that we can, things have a way of showing up in different ways in yourself. For me, it's on the subtle level. Something will just emerge in your mind and you're like, okay, where did that come from? And then you're like, okay, I'll deal with that later. And then there are certain things that just, you know, come and it stays. And then after a while, you just let that go and you know that's just a part of the story. And then you reach a point that you're, you know, constantly learning about who you are from your interaction with others. If you've been watching our stories and following us for quite a while, the last 6 months, we had a wonderful experience of working with Oprah Winfrey's network and Oprah herself, and just dealing with things as it goes along and it comes up and down. And I thought that I would not be able to take on board another agenda on my plate because I'm so full with so much. But my wonderful assistant, Antonia Silvera, always thinks I've got more to give than any normal human being. And so we got on board and went for an incredible ride. And last night we got this very, very nice letter from Oprah. And in reading it, I was trying to pick up the intention and the vibration in the letter and how important it was for her to have gone through the experience of, you know, not only financing the Believe television series, but actually seeing it through. What I was trying to say is that we're learning to embrace each other a lot more. We are learning to bring a sense of spirit and cooperation in our lives with each other. Because if we don't do it, you're going to grow bitter, miserable, and definitely beside yourself and wonder what was this whole thing about. So much going on and there's so much love to share. And in a class 2 days ago, the answer was, if you cut anyone off from your life instantly, it's your ego. So just remember that. So the question is, what is it that I can offer this relationship where at least my heart is clean? That if the person emerges or a thought of the person emerges, there's only cleanliness in my heart for that one. So I leave you with that to ponder on. Really thank you for tuning in to the America Meditating Radio. We're planning to upgrade and do a little facelift and radio lift along the way. So for 2016, we're hoping to surprise you with a lot of new things and new ways of looking at ourselves at a much deeper level. We're looking for individuals in the community who are inspiring folks in and around their areas because they themselves are an inspiration. So we're going to look forward to participate in inspiring people and just hearing about your stories. And we want to focus on the local community. America Meditating has become a global sensation, and we're very humbled by the incredible success of our radio show. But I was sharing with the producers that I thought it was just so important. I want to hear who's in my backyard. I want to hear what you're doing. I want to understand how powerful you are and the contribution that you're making in my own home, which is this area that we're stationed in, which is the nation's capital. So stay tuned. We're going to have Annie Nandini Mahan, who is a yoga and mindful teacher, founder of Circle Yoga Cooperative and DC Yoga Week. We're looking forward to talking to Annie right after we do what we do best here in the America Meditating Radio Show, and that is to have some, what do you call it, meditation. There you go. So breathe in deeply. Take it easy on yourself. And I'd like you to really bring insight, just all the goodness that you have within you. Breathe in, relax, and let's let it go and be. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. Observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you, and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, spiritual and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. This time, Welcome back to America Meditating. That was Letting Go from my Off the Grid Into the Heart Meditation CD, which actually is one of my favorite CDs. Well, the America Meditating Show is really pleased to welcome Annie Mahon, who is a yoga and mindfulness teacher and founder of the Circle Yoga Cooperative and DC Yoga Week. She's also an ordained lay Buddhist minister, licensed massage therapist, and is active in much of the grassroots community yoga and mindfulness activities in the nation's capital. Annie writes a mindfulness blog at rawmindfulness.com and recently published her second book entitled Things I Did When I Was Hangry. I hope that's right. Navigating a Peaceful Relationship with Food. And today we welcome Annie to the show. Welcome, Annie.
Hi, Sister Jenna. How wonderful to be here with you.
Same here, same here. I hope I was right. When I was hangry, which I get hungry and angry at the same time. I love it.
Exactly.
Oh, that is so sweet. Yeah. That is so sweet. Mm-hmm. Annie, tell us about you. You hold a master's degree in religious studies, and now you're an ordained lay Buddhist minister. You're into yoga. You're writing books. You're talking about peaceful relationships with food. What is happening in the soul of Annie?
Ah, wonderful question. Well, the soul of Annie is slowly transforming from what got me into all of this in the first place was kind of angst and unhappiness and loneliness that I felt even in the midst of a relatively sane life. You know, from teenagerhood, I had a lot of angst and was always seeking more connection, you know, with the universal, with other people, always feeling just a little bit like I wasn't getting that connection that I wanted. And so I explored a lot of different things, and I felt a real calling all the time to move more deeply into spiritual practice. And when I discovered mindfulness in the 90s through Thich Nhat Hanh, the teacher Thich Nhat Hanh, it was like a light bulb went off, and I thought, oh, this really works for me. This practice really makes me feel more connected to myself, to other people, to the universe, and I really stuck with it from then. And it's been a very helpful practice for me. And so since then, I've really just been developing my practice, trying to bring it to others who are interested through teaching and also through yoga. Even though yoga is sort of a separate philosophy, I bring in the mindfulness in my yoga teaching as well. And then I wrote the book. The second book. The first book was a collection of my blogs. Thank you.
Congratulations. You know, one of the most important narratives lately that I've been hearing with a lot of my friends over the air is we're listening to our hearts. We're listening to our callings. Yes, we got educated. Yes, we had to get a job to pay the bills. But along the way, something was emerging. Remember, it's a thought that went against everything that was traditional, or everything mm-hmm. that was telling you this is what you're supposed to do. And even though those are still mm-hmm. there is always this quiet emergence, you know, this emergence of thinking that there is something more in your being, in your spirit, that you can expand on. So I want to thank you mm-hmm. for your new book. Congratulations. And I'd love if you could tell our listeners a little bit about what it means and how it changed you after writing your second book.
Okay, well, mindfulness, as most of your listeners probably know, is this idea of paying attention, but it also has a second aspect, which is a certain flavor of what I would call love or loving kindness, but it's not just neutral paying attention, so it has this other flavor. And so for me, this has been a really, as I said, a big part of my practice. And one of the areas where I've struggled the most has been around eating and food. And I go into that in a lot more detail in the book, but, you know, how between my own inner struggles and the society, the pressure of our society in terms of being thin or you know, being into food or not being into food. There's just so much pressure around eating and food, and also within my family of origin, that I realized that that was an area of practice that I had been working on sort of diligently for decades. And that's what really inspired me to write the book. It's kind of a funny story. The publisher had said yes to some of my ideas, and this is the one they really wanted me to write about. And so I started to write the proposal. And while I was writing the proposal, I had a doubt attack where I was like, I'm not a chef. I'm not a super expert on this. Why am I writing this? But as I began to write more of this proposal, I realized, oh, I'm actually the worst person at this, which makes me the best person to write about it, because I'd struggled so much with eating. And I had bulimia as a teenager. I, you know, starved myself. I binged. I threw up. I had, you know, just very sort of dysfunctional relationship with food. And of course, as a very young child, like all young children, I had a very good relationship with food. But it then became dysfunctional. And over the years of practicing mindfulness, I could see how that had sort of unraveled a lot of that dysfunction and left me with a much more comfortable, peaceful, even loving relationship with food, grateful relationship with food. And so I thought, yeah, I can write this book. And so that's how I came about to write it. Cool. And actually, while I was writing it, I discovered a lot of new things about myself. So I found it also transformative to write the book.
Can you tell us, Annie, why is it that sometimes we tend to reveal a lot of what's going on in our soul from our eating habits, whether it's eating too much, whether it's not eating enough, whether it's eating and saying, I got to take this food out because at least emotionally I'm satisfied, but now I don't want to have the calories, or whatever is the feeling that one goes through when they're bulimic. But what is this relationship between food and our beings and our souls?
Well, for one thing, food, as we know, is, you know, the first thing that really connects us to someone else. As a baby, you know, we're being fed, and that's a really deep connection that we have with our caregiver who's feeding us, whether it's breastfeeding or bottle feeding or whatever it is. We are helpless to feed ourselves, and so that's a deep relationship that goes on there. So I think some of that comes into play. There's also a sense of belonging, and our culture has so much pressure on how society would like us to look. So we want to belong. We want to fit in. So we want to look a certain way. And for me, a big part of this whole obsession on food was a kind of addiction, a way of distracting myself from my own inner being. So if I'm always thinking about food and what I should or shouldn't eat, I don't have to really feel what's coming up inside of me. So and that was the same for me using drugs and alcohol, which I also have transformed over the years. But just a sense of numbing out and being completely overtaken by a binge or overtaken by the starving, whatever the distraction is, that it means I don't have to feel. I don't have to feel the loneliness and the separation. So I think that's a big part of it.
It is. And, you know, as I have had the fortune of engaging in conversations with hundreds of thousands of people personally in my lifetime, I've drawn the foregone conclusion that we're never alone in our pain, suffering, or even celebration. And even when I go through my down moments, I just know there's a community of a vortex of people who have gone through this or who is going through this. And for some reason, I connect on a very subtle level in the ethers, like my brothers and sisters who are also going through this. Let us, you know, meet in council. In other words, know that we're just supported. And it's something that I would never do, but it's something that I realized a few years ago that, wow, this is really important. If I can use food as a cure, I can also use my mind in community with others as a cure. And I found that to be a huge, huge benefit and bonus for me. I understand that you are an inner relationship focusing professional, but first you've got to tell me what that means, and that you have studied you know, and practiced nonviolent communication for over a decade. Could you give us some insight on what it means? I can guess what it means spiritually, but I'd like our listeners to get it from the angel's mouth, shall we say. What have you found to be the key in staying positive, not only in this challenging world, but in our relationships?
Great question. So in a relationship, focusing just briefly is an offshoot of Gene Genlin's focusing work that he did in the 60s and 70s. And it's a process derived by Ann Wiser Cornell and Barbara McGavin. And what it is, and here's how I like to describe it, and it's, I'm going to step back a second to describe it, but in mindfulness, Thich Nhat Hanh in particular talks about when we have a strong emotion, that the way that we want to be with it in order to transform it is to hold it, pick it up and hold it and care for it in the same way we would care for a crying baby. So the first thing we do is embrace it, and then it can transform through mindfulness. So inner relationship focusing, to me, describes a concrete process of how to hold our strong emotions in order to help them transform. So for me, this practice is really the centerpiece of my practice of mindful eating and mindfulness in general. But when a strong emotion comes up, instead of turning away from it, instead of distracting myself, instead of letting it push me into an action, I embrace it and I turn toward it. And simply by turning toward it, I've already disidentified from it. And I then, instead of it being that strong emotion, that desire, that craving, or that self-condemnation, instead of being that, I now am present. And I am present, turning to look at this emotion with loving kindness. And then I can listen to it. I can just be with it if that's what it needs, if it wants to tell me something. I had a great example even just this morning. We have a new sitting group that's meeting in my home, and I also have some work being done on my house. And so I had let my contractor know that we would be having this meditation this morning from 7 to 8. And unfortunately, the message didn't get passed on, so there was a lot of noise happening. And I could feel that anger rising in me, like, and this whole story about what I was going to say, how righteous I was about I've already told him, and, you know, this whole story came up in me. But instead of letting my mind just kind of go down that path, I invited my mind to turn inside and to say, what is that anger? And where is that anger? And I started paying attention to my body, feeling the anger in me, holding it, embracing it, seeing what it wanted to let me know. And it turned out it let me know some things about feeling like I don't have control over my own space, which goes all the way back into my childhood. And so it shifted everything.
I know. You know what's really painful? When individuals like yourself or myself have been called to live a more, let's just say, a more responsible lifestyle, such as to remain peaceful and pure and happy, and then situations just emerge and you just go, forget all of that. I don't care what I am. What's really important for me now is that these contractors have to get out the house.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, it holds it holds you accountable, but then you also realize, wow, I love the work that I'm doing. I love the fact that I am focused on the real deal and the real shift, which is something on the inside.
Yes, and for me, that draw to kind of give him hell was so seductive. It was so seductive. I just, my mind so wanted to go there. And what got me back was a deep knowing about how it feels to be connected to somebody and how it feels to be disconnected. And I knew if I did that, I would be disconnected from this man who I feel, you know, relatively close to. And I knew that if I turned inward, I would have maybe a chance to be able to transform that. And so that's what really helped me to come back.
Beautiful for you. Let's talk a little bit about DC Yoga Week before I get you off the air. It's an annual event, and I believe you started that, and would love to know why and how is it doing?
It's doing great, and I am not organizing it every year anymore because I've moved on from that, but I love it. I still attend. And I started it, and I think partly I started it because one of the things I love to do is connect. And so this was a chance to bring together not just yogis in the D.C. area, but to bring together the studios and the people the teachers who are teaching yoga, rather than feeling like competitive or separate and we're in our own little world, the chance to bring everyone together to create a kind of bigger energy. And there are so many people practicing yoga in the D.C. area. And to do it on the National Mall, which is just so powerful with the backdrop of the Washington Monument, is really lovely. And it feels very connecting, and it creates this kind of, as I said, this bigger energy of positivity. So yeah, I love creating it. I'm a kind of a creator as opposed to a sustainer. So I loved creating it, but managing it every year was a little...
It was challenging your inner focus, right?
Yes. Yes, you know, and I have new things I wanted to be doing, so you know how that is.
Of course, of course. You know, it's always mindful. You think about whenever you start something, it has to be sustained. And so I think that's why we tend to be a little bit cautious about the things that we say yay to. Annie, I want to thank you for joining us on the air this morning. It's always a privilege to speak to our local leaders and folks who are inspiring positivity in the nation's capital. Do know that we really need that more and more than anything else. Before I let you go, leave our listeners with Annie's favorite life quote and information that you think is really important that you'd like the listeners to know in terms of getting a hold of you and where they can attain a copy of your book.
Wonderful. Well, I'll start with where you can get the book, and then I'll finish with the quote, I guess. My website is rawmindfulness.com, and that's where you can read my blog, which I just was, I won a 2015 award from Matcha Tea for one of the best blogs for healthy living. And you can also find out more about my schedule there, but also circleyoga.com is another place that sometimes my classes will show up. And my book is available, you know, pretty much the usual places, most bookstores, on Amazon, on barnesandnoble.com, any of those places. So please, I would love it if you read it and want to put a review, it'd be great. And one of my favorite quotes is actually a little gatha or a poem that Thich Nhat Hanh offers that I try to practice in the mornings before I get out of bed. And it's, waking up this morning, I smile. 24 brand new hours are before me. I vow to live fully in each moment and to look at all beings with the eyes of compassion. Thank you so much for letting me join you today.
Oh, same here, Annie. Hope to see you at the Meditation Museum very soon. Maybe we can do a book signing. How's that?
I would love that.
That will be great. We'll definitely have Antonia reach out to you. All the very best, okay?
Thank you, Sister Jenna.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So we're all on our journey, and there are times that in just a second something can emerge to test us, to qualify us, to inspire us, to hold true to our declaration of being peaceful and pure and calm. It's okay when you lose it. It's fine. Stuff has a way of happening. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation with Annie Mahan. Please do get a hold of her at rawmindfulness.com. It's important for me that you enjoy our conversations on the air. They mean a lot to me, and I hope that they mean a lot to you. And as I close every show, remember, no one can take away your happiness. You've got to give permission for that to happen. And we are going through a journey and a process of learning to love everyone the same so that we don't keep fluctuating with the ins and outs, ups and downs, who I like and who I don't like. I think the story is getting quite old. Keep the faith, my friends, and keep in touch 24/7 by downloading the Pause for Peace app and participating in all the good that is definitely in our planet. Take care, everyone. We're going to end with Keep the Faith by Lucinda Drake. Bye-bye.
everyone.